Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church. Do you have the right priorities? We'll find out in today's episode. You're listening to our education pastor, William Hunt's sermon on setting priorities. We're going to cover 6 points on prioritizing, and now you can prepare your Bibles for Luke 10:38-42.
It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" A diehard football fan was really surprised to see an empty seat in front of him at the Super Bowl. He tapped the woman on the shoulder who was sitting beside the seat and commented about it. She said, "Oh, it was my husband's," the woman explained. "But he died. And I'm so," she said, "I'm so very sorry," said the man. "But I'm really surprised that another relative or a friend didn't jump at the opportunity to fill the seat." She said, "Beats me. I offered it to several people, but they insisted on going to the funeral." Just a little humor to set the tone, but it may be truer than we realize. For many people, prioritizing life is more challenging than they would dare to admit. Between work, friends, kids, spouses, hobbies, and everything else you can mention, not even including God, the day just doesn't seem to possess the time needed to balance all these areas properly. So how do you choose what's important and what's not important right now? What if everything that needs your attention is important? Because that's possible, right? What if everything that needs your attention is important? I would like to talk to you about setting priorities. Over the next couple weeks, I would like to give you some simple yet profound truths from God's Word that will without a doubt allow you to spiritually discern what really is important and what isn't that important right now, so that you can set proper priorities. To get started tonight, I want you to write down these two verses, Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12, and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read those verses to you. Psalms 90, 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil." Both verses recognize the surpassing value of having wisdom as it concerns the time we are given. The things that we prioritize ought to be things that honor and glorify God. The life that God has given us was made for purpose, with our greatest purpose being a life that's lived to please God. Without the truth of God's word and the wisdom that God provides, we will aimlessly wander through life, wasting away precious time. So I hope that I have your attention tonight, and that over the next 2 weeks, you will allow God to work in your life concerning how you spend the non-renewable resource of time. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into your outline. God, I am grateful for your word. And Lord, I realize that your word is profound. It's true. It sets us free. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak through your word. I pray that we would be listeners, that we would not be forgetful hearers. Because I know tonight that there are people in this room, including myself, that at one time or another, and maybe even now, have struggled with prioritizing things in their life. So God, may we get it right. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever, in a passing conversation, been asked by someone if you have gotten to do a particular thing? Like, did you get to do that this weekend? How many of you ever had someone just ask, have you got to do that? Did you get to do the thing that you wanted to do? It happens in everyday conversation. When you respond, or when you responded to that person, it sounded something like this. No, I just didn't have the time. I'm very guilty of using this phrase. I've said this more times than I care to admit, or probably could even count. The phrase is usually accompanied by another phrase that goes something like this. No, I just don't have the time. I've been really busy. It is an excuse used for just about everything. But what does it really mean? Is it just a reflexive response? Or is it our own way of feeling better about why we didn't do something that we wished we had done? I believe that it is somewhat reflexive, but I also believe that it is a subconscious realization of what I have and haven't considered important or made time for. But it ultimately has nothing to do with time itself, because time itself doesn't change. What changes is how and where I spend my time. Would you agree? My busyness or lack of time is not because there are only 24 hours in a day. Because if there were 24, 26, 27 hours in a day, and we didn't have proper priorities, we would use up that time just the same, only to find ourselves excusing it away with the same statement, I just don't have the time. I've been really busy. We're going to be interactive tonight, okay? Wouldn't it be more honest? Now, hear me out. Wouldn't it be more honest just to say, that just isn't a priority right now? Wouldn't that be more honest? It may not go over well with your spouse, with your friends, or with the pastor of the church, but if you were honest, you would say, it just really isn't a priority right now. Because that's honesty. It is important for us to understand that everyone is busy. Everyone. Everyone's busy. This life demands stuff from everybody. But it is also important to note that while some busyness can be legitimate, much of our busyness, hear what I'm going to tell you, much of our busyness is self-inflicted. All of us have both legitimate busyness and self-inflicted busyness. This would mean that our busyness is not something that just happens to us. Most of us have chosen to be busy with the things we're busy with. For some, their identity is found in being busy. It gives them some sense of self-importance. For some, their busyness is a way to justify escaping what should be important. Their busyness becomes a very convenient way to just opt out of hard or important things. The fact is, most people are comfortable with their busy life. They made the choices that made their life busy. And that busyness is never viewed as inappropriate until they realize that there are several things that they've neglected or missed out on because of that busyness. Eventually, reality sets in. And people want to change their schedules, but they can't because their choices have now chained them to the wrong priorities. My reality check came in 2014. I had an unexpected heart attack, and that heart attack brought things to a screeching halt. And it slowed me down enough to realize that I had not prioritized my family in a way that honored God. I had been so busy with trying to make it financially that two jobs and trying to be a pastor of a church full time had eaten up every second of my day. When I got home, there was nothing left to give away. I would sit down, and if I sat down, if you're a man and you're busy every day, you know what that means. The kicker was this. Everything that I did, I attached to the idea that I was doing it for the ministry. All the while neglecting the most important part of my ministry, my family. The heart attack put things into perspective. The reason I didn't have time was because I had chosen not to have the time. And now it felt like I was running out of time. You've probably been there. Learning to be honest about this area of prioritizing your life is life-changing. I want you to write down John chapter 8. In verse 31 and 32, it says this, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth," and we all know this part, "and the truth will" what? "Make you free." This is obviously talking about the truth of God's word, but all truth will set us free. In this case, truth will set you free from the chains of wrong priorities. So I ask you tonight, what are your top priorities? What things do you deem important? What things do you sacrifice for the most? What should you change so that proper things become important? Because the fact is, we're all running out of time. I want you to write down these three things somewhere in your outline. I heard Adrian Rogers say this a while back. Have to, want to, and ought to. Have to, want to, and ought to. Almost everything we do every day falls into one of these three main categories. I'm going to read this simple but complex statement, so listen real close. Have-tos are must-dos, and want-tos are could-dos, and ought-tos are should-dos. We tend to mess up when the have-tos become should-dos, and want-tos become must-dos, and we forget about what we ought to do. Don't ask me to say it again. So let's get into your outline. Let's start with some opening thoughts about priorities. Number one, anything can be a priority. Anything can be a priority. The definition of a priority is this: something that is regarded or treated as more important than something else. Something that takes precedence in our life. The definition reinforces the point that anything can become a priority. All that must be done to make something a priority is for you or I to consider that that thing, that something, that anything is important. And when we do that, whatever that thing is, will without a doubt consume our time and attention before all of other things. A few years back, I made it a priority on a Saturday to teach myself how to solve the Rubik's Cube. How many of you can solve the Rubik's Cube? I thought I was an elitist. Only one of you. I spent about five hours trying to learn the process for solving it. Why, you ask? I'm asking the same question. What fueled my desire to learn the Rubik's Cube? Why did it become a priority in my life? Because the last time I checked, it wasn't a sought-out skill on resumes. Did I really want to learn to solve the Rubik's Cube? Well, the answer is yes. But the priority really wasn't about learning the Rubik's Cube. And this is where it gets really deep. You see, the priority was my pride. It had nothing to do with the Rubik's Cube. You see, the week prior, my brother and his family came in, and I saw my 13-year-old nephew at the time solve the Rubik's Cube in under a minute. And I needed to be able to do that. Life just could not go on if I couldn't do that. Honestly, if I'm real honest about it, I obsessed over it. For days, I watched videos and I taught myself to do it. I would send pictures to my brother of me solving it with my best times. Never got to a minute, but I tried real hard. My pride was the thing that fueled devoting time and making the Rubik's Cube a priority. And if you asked me right now, could I solve a Rubik's Cube? I couldn't solve one if I tried. This is a perfect example that anything can become a priority. And the reasons and the reasons of fuel behind why we take why they take precedence in our life. And they're not always what we think they are. On January 6, 1992, Ted Turner, who is considered by the world standards a very successful businessman, revealed what drove his priorities. When he was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year, he raised his hand to heaven and said, "Is this good enough?" You see, many things can be the fuel behind our priorities. Our insecurities, weaknesses, strengths, quest for power, our past potentially drive us to prioritize the wrong things. The funny part is this. Most of the time, we are not honest enough to admit why we do what we do. Why have I prioritized spending more hours at work when I don't have to? Why have I been the driving factor behind my kids playing sports? Why do I prioritize my friends over my spouse? You see, these questions, though tough, can reveal why the thing we set as a priority is a priority. In our text, Jesus made his way to the town and is invited by Martha to come to her house. Amid all the excitement, Mary chooses to sit at Jesus' feet, while her sister Martha chooses to serve Jesus and be a good host. Two different people with two different priorities. Why did they choose so differently? And we'll discover all that in the next 2 weeks. Was Mary lazy because she chose to sit at Jesus' feet? Was she more spiritual than Martha because she chose to sit at Jesus' feet? Was Martha a hard worker because she chose to serve Jesus? Was she less spiritual because she chose not to sit in the presence of Jesus? It's possible that you can make arguments for both, but I believe it to be neither. The decisions made by Mary and Martha were based on what they deemed to be important in the moment. Anything can be a priority, which leads me to the next point. Number two, our choices create priorities. Our choices create priorities. In our text, it was Martha that chose to invite Jesus to her home. And after Jesus had entered the village, in verse 38, it says that a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. John chapter 12 tells us that not only did she invite him into the home, but the chapter 12 in verse 2, I think it is, says that they made him supper and Martha was serving. Now, I'd never seen this before. I'm sure I've read it, but I had never really thought about it in this way. Martha chose to invite Jesus into her home and cook for him. Now, if you're a husband, you're well aware of the pressure and present priorities that are created when you choose to invite people to your house. My wife gets frantic. And she cleans things she ain't cleaned in years. Don't tell her I said that. And I think, are we lying here? I mean, we don't live this way. Don't tell her I said that either.
I've got an extra bedroom.
Oh. But as a husband, you understand present priorities that are created when we choose to invite people over. Everything has to be perfect, especially the meal, right? Now imagine that your guest is Jesus and all the disciples. Martha's choice to invite him into her home created in her mind the huge priority of serving Jesus well. She was determined to be a good host to the man that had just raised her brother from the dead. You can see that part of the story in John chapter 12 as well. Martha's choice to invite Jesus created a self-induced priority of being a great host. In Martha's world, being at the feet of Jesus wasn't as important as serving Jesus. Martha had lost sight of what was truly important. You see, our choices create priorities. I say this all the time to my kids, and I beat it into their brain, really, is that choices have consequences, right? Choices have consequences. We get to make our choices, but we don't get to pick the consequences. And I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. And if you don't hear anything else I say when it comes to priorities, this is a huge statement. The consequence of your choice might just be self-induced priorities that dictate where and how you spend your time. You see, the consequence of your choice might just be a self-induced priority that dictates where and how you spend your time. You see, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, that whatever a man what? Sows, right? This will he also reap." And so cue a personal example here. Back in March, I created for myself a priority. In a moment of weakness, I gave in to my daughter's plea, both daughters, for a Great Pyrenees puppy. I know you're saying, what an idiot. I swear to you, I was 100% tricked and forced into saying yes. You can believe that if you want to. My choice to get the puppy comes with its own set of priorities. Somebody has to feed it. Somebody has to walk it. Somebody has to train it. Somebody has to take care of it, right? If we go on vacation, somebody has to find somebody to do all these things while we're gone. So I created for myself a priority that's going to accumulate, or that's going to consume a lot of my time. My point is simple. With every choice, there is the potential for self-inflicted priorities. If you choose to get married, we have all the priorities that surround marriage. If you choose to have children, we take on the priority of being a parent. Each choice we make has the potential to create priorities that will consume our time. Now, none of these are necessarily bad things. But if you think of it in the light of making a bad choice, it could be severe. Our choices create priorities, which brings me to the third point. Priorities will change the direction of your life. Priorities will change the direction of your life. This point is an extension to the fact that choices create priorities, which can and will change the direction of your life. Mark Twain said, to change your life, all you need to change are your priorities. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5 says that the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. The verse is evidence that planning gives us an advantage. Planning allows us to make better choices, and better choices lead to better circumstances, and better circumstances can change our life. As Christians, we need discernment in decision making. I want you to write down Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. We know these verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You see, without God's wisdom, we will mismanage our time. We'll lean on our own understanding. And we often rush foolishly into situations that rob us, cue puppy, right, of precious time. I want you to write this down in your outline under this point, if you have room. I am only one choice away from a different life. I am only one choice away from a different life. And you see, that can be positive or negative. I'm only one choice away from a different life. Galatians 6, 7, I read that earlier, but verses 8 and 9 tells us this, for the one who sows to his flesh will reap flesh, reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't grow weary. You see, improper priorities cause us to reap sorrow, They can cause us to reap regrets. And in the grand scheme of eternity, they even can have eternal alienation from God. Write down Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? You see, priorities will change the direction of your life. It can even change the direction of where you go when you die. Which brings me to the fourth point. Life will always insert its own priorities. Life will always insert its own priorities. I think I put Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11 in your outline. If not, you can write that down. And that's a verse that you hear a lot here. And that is this, is that for time and chance, what? Overtake them all. This verse reminds us that life can present to us unwanted and unpredicted circumstances at any time. A perfect example of this was 2020, the COVID pandemic. This one event changed almost everyone's priorities. Think about it. That one event changed everybody's priorities. It also revealed some of the fuel behind why certain things were made priorities. Remember, we just talked about that. People's fears, their anxieties, without a doubt dictated what they did. While a pandemic is not a common example, how about a doctor's visit that reveals a terminal sickness? I remember the day that we were told that my mother had 2 months to live as a 12-year-old boy. Priorities change. Life inserts its own priorities. What about a phone call that brings the news of a death? What about being laid off from your job? There are so many things that can be inserted into our life that will without a doubt restructure the present priority of your life. And if it hasn't happened to you, just wait a little while, it will. When life happens, other things become less important. When life happens, other things become less important. What mattered most takes a back seat to the present situation. Sometimes what we had previously prioritized just becomes obsolete because it just doesn't matter. If we have not properly prioritized the things we have control of, before life inserts its own priorities, it will make your present reality almost unbearable. I'm going to say that again. If we've not properly prioritized the things we have control of, before life inserts its own priorities, it will make your present reality almost unbearable. Because as we will see next week, the wrong priorities lead to unnecessary stress. We see a little glimpse of this with Martha. When Jesus says to her in the text verse, he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about what? So many things." When I read this verse and say it aloud, I can visualize Jesus shaking his head in disappointment. "Martha, Martha." He wanted Martha to have peace in the middle of what was chaotic for her. But because she had set improper priorities, in that moment, she was overwhelmed. As Christians, we need to learn to prioritize life prior to unpredictable moments. Prioritize your life prior to unpredictable moments, because it is the key to handling those times well and bringing glory and honor in the middle of an unwanted circumstance. Life will always insert its own priorities. Which brings me to number five. Where we spend our time reveals our priorities. Where we spend our time reveals our priorities. We see the evidence of this point in the text. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, The verse says that Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. The verse tells us that Mary's priority was to be in the presence of the Lord. In her mind, nothing else could have been more important. While in verse 40, that verse tells us that Martha's priority was her service. Here you have Mary, whose her priority was to be in the presence of Jesus, and you have Martha, whose priority was to serve. Now, the word preparations in verse 40 can also be translated ministry, which I find to be very interesting, seeing that this portion of Scripture, that text that I've given you, is obviously about prioritizing relationship over ministry, or relationship over service. So let's just pump the brakes for just a minute. Let's bring it real close to home, okay? If you serve here at Corrington Church, and you are prioritizing your service for God above your relationship with God, you're not doing God a favor. You're doing yourself a disservice. You see, without a relationship with God, your service for God is not sustainable. And you see that in Martha. So where you spend your time reveals your priorities. You see, your priorities aren't what you say they are. They're not even what you think they are. Our priorities are reflected by how we spend our time. If you dissect where you spend your time, you quickly discover what your priorities are. And since what we value is reflected in our priorities, your calendar will reveal your values. For an example, if I spend a lot of time with friends, what do I value? Relationships, right? If you spend a lot of time trying to make as much money as possible, then what do you value? You value wealth or maybe security. If you ensure that you get to the gym 4 to 5 times a week, what do you value? You might value a healthy body. If you have a strict bedtime regimen, which I try to have, you value what? Sleep. Now, none of these are necessarily bad things to prioritize, but they without a doubt reveal where your priorities are. Show us where you spend your time, and all of us will quickly discover what you value, and not just what you value, but what you value the most. Where you spend your time reveals your priorities. Which brings me to the sixth and final point tonight. Setting proper priorities is about the stewardship of time. Setting proper priorities is about the stewardship of time. I gave you Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16 early on when we started this tonight. And it says, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. And here it is, making the most of your time. Stewardship is defined as the conducting, supervising, or managing of something. Especially the careful management of something that is entrusted to you. Based on its definition, stewardship is about more than just money. I mean, it's about, we have to steward our families, right? If you own a business, you have to steward that business. If you have friends and good friends, you steward those relationships. If you have ministries, you steward your ministries. In this case, it's about time. It could be anything. When we've been entrusted with something, to take care of it, we should manage that more precisely than something we own. I'll give you an example of this. Dee Harrison told me something that I'll never forget. And the reason I'll never forget it is because it already resonated with me because I was brought up to take care of other people's stuff. When you borrow something, right, you give that thing back better than you got it. I mean, if it's a car and it was dirty when you got it, you don't say anything about it being dirty. You wash it and you give it back. That shows gratitude, right? When you take care of other people's stuff. And he said this, and it was concerning Way Floyd. Here's what he said. It was just in a conversation that him and I were having. He said, we have a responsibility in life to manage our own finances well. But we have overwhelming responsibility to manage the finances and donations we're given for Way Floyd. That's stewardship, right? We've been entrusted with things that we're to give to Way Floyd. And he said this, he said, I don't take that lightly. You see, everything that we possess is God's, right? It's God's. You didn't create anything. You don't own anything. You've been entrusted with it. He's made all things and he's given us all things. Even the very breath that you breathe is God's. And God has allotted to each person a certain amount of time to steward. And within that time, we're expected to live with purpose. And to live with purpose and to purposefully live for God. None of us know the amount of time that we have. But what we do know beyond a shadow of a doubt is this, is that time runs out. I want you to write down Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. You may know this verse, and I'm going to summarize it. It says, it is appointed unto men once to die. Time runs out. Write down Psalms 103, verses 15 and 16. It says, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. The inevitable outcome for each person is that we will run out of time. We may have an hour. We may have a day. We may have a week. We may have years. But our time is fading faster than we realize. Setting proper priorities is about the stewardship of time. And we'll close with this. Setting proper priorities will give you an edge in this life and allow God to oversee the choices you make. Next week, we'll talk about the wrong priorities and then we'll wrap it all up with how we set proper priorities. You see, we get to choose our priorities. And if we set proper priorities, it gives us an advantage. And it allows God to oversee all the choices that we make. But the unfortunate truth is this, that many people will unexpectedly step into eternity not having stewarded this life well. Like Martha, they too will have had opportunities to prioritize being in the presence of Jesus to hear his word, but will ultimately choose to be distracted by the preparations of this life and make an eternal mistake. What shall it profit a man if he'd gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?
You've just heard the first of two messages from William Hunt on setting priorities. Keep listening, and in the near future, you'll hear the second message on the wrong and the proper priorities. Parents, if you're looking for childcare, Coryton Church has a wonderful Parents' Day Out program every Tuesday and Thursday. Your kids can develop their learning and social skills in a safe space as they learn more about God and His love for them. We have a loving staff and a great facility here, so if you'd like to learn more about First Look Parents' Day Out, go to CorytonChurch.com/Parents' Day Out to see if our PDO is right for you.